This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We'll now move into a time of scripture reading. Today's passage comes from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 to 20 to 66. There are the church Bibles. They're available at the seats. But we will also display the passage on screen. Let's invite Sister Paulina. She gives us God's word today.
Morning, church. The if you're using the Bibles on the chairs, please turn to page 827. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. To crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny people their rights before the Most High, to deprive them of justice, would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain without pity. You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through. You have made us scum and refuse among the nations. All our enemies have opened their mouths wide against us. We have suffered terror and pitfalls, ruin and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because my people are destroyed. My eyes will flow unceasingly without relief until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees. What I see brings grief to my soul because of all the women of my city. Those who were my enemies without cause hunted me like a bird. They tried to end my life in a pit and threw stones at me. The waters closed over my head, and I thought I was about to perish. I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. Lord, you have seen the wrong done to me. Uphold my cause. You have seen the depth of their vengeance, all their plots against me. Lord, you have heard their insults, all their plots against me, what my enemies whisper and mutter against me all day long. Look at them, sitting or standing. They mock me in their songs. Pay them back what they deserve, Lord, for what their hands have done. Put a veil over their hearts, and may your curse be on them. pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
We'll now invite Pastor Nick to come out and give us today's message.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please teach us from your word to lament well, that we may persevere as we suffer. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier this month, I went to watch Singapore versus Korea. I took this picture. It was 7-0. My evidence that I was there. Now, I realized that before the third goal, I was in the Singapore section and we were all cheering for Singapore. After the third goal, those around me, we all lost hope and people started cheering for Korea instead. Today we are thinking about hope because sometimes it's difficult to have hope. Sometimes we have no hope, no faint ray of hope, and that things will get better. Now, some of us might remember the tragic case last year where a father strangled his two autistic twins. Now, his present situation was hard, and he felt his future was hopeless. He thought in future, no one will care for the boys when he and his wife passed on. Now, we all face different struggles. Some worry about our situations now, with family, relationships, with friends, with work. What can we do when our present situation is bad and the future seems hopeless? That's what Lamentations, that's a question that the singer of Lamentations 3 asks for us. If you look at chapter 3, verse 18, the singer says, "So I say, my splendor is gone, all that I had hoped for from the Lord." The singer had lost hope in his situation. God had promised to bless the Jews if they obeyed him. But the Jews rebelled against God over and over again, and God kept his promise to punish them. And what God did is, God sent the cruel and mighty Babylonian army to have victory over Israel. So the Babylonian army destroyed Israel's capital city, Jerusalem. The Babylonians destroyed the temple. Many people died. And most people who were left, they were taken into exile. Away from their homeland, exiled to the foreign Babylon. So God's people, they have lost hope in their situation. And how did they react to this situation? Now, some people continued to be steadfast, and they faced persecutions, they faced difficulties in the new land, like, if you know your Bibles, like Daniel and his three friends. But some turned away from God for hope elsewhere. Wherever they are, to all these exiles, the singer gives them Lamentations chapter 3. This is the lament for them to sing to help them grieve in hope. Friends, we too are in exile. We are not exiled from Jerusalem. We are all in exile from God and from Eden because of our rebellion. The father of humanity, Adam, he rebelled against God. So God has exiled him from the good garden of Eden and to be with God. And God has placed the world that we are in under his curse. So there's brokenness. There's pain, there's sickness, there's death. On top of that, for those of us who believe in Jesus, we are in exile from the world. See, the world rejects Jesus, and the world rejects Jesus' people. And the world causes Jesus' people pain. So we also need Lamentations 3 to teach us to lament our exiles. What Lamentations 3 tells us is there is hope for the hopeless, therefore there is salvation for the sinners. There's hope for the hopeless and there's salvation for the sinners. Let's look at verse 1, hope for the hopeless. Verse 1, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath." So the singer has felt pain. In chapter Lamentations 1 and 2, the singer sang about the pitifulness of Jerusalem that fell, and of all the people who got hurt, but how God punished the city. But the lamenter doesn't say, oh, it's all your fault, I've got nothing to do with this. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1, he says that the city's pain is his own pain. He is the one who has seen affliction. He is the one who has experienced God's judgment. So he laments the hopelessness. Okay, so in verse 1 to 6, the singer laments about the Lord's dreadful judgment. Look at verse 2. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. Now, being in exile is like God driving the sinner into a dark place, into darkness, where there is no life, no light. And the singer, he suffers God's judgment again and again and again, day after day. And God's judgment, in verse 5, made him weak from all this bitterness, all this hardship. So in verse 5, he has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. Bitterness and hardship is all around the singer. Everywhere he turns, everywhere he looks in exile, everyone is suffering. There's bitterness and it's hard. It's hard for everyone, it's hard for him. There are no smiles, there's no joy. God's wrath was dreadful for him. And is there any way out of God's wrath for the singer? For the sinner? Okay, for a singing sinner. No, there is no way out for him. God's wrath is inescapable. You see, verse 7 to 8, we see that he is trapped. He walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts my prayer. So the singer feels as like in verse 7, God is tied him up in heavy chains and weighing him down. Yeah, some of you know that 2 weeks ago, I was taking care of children in Cambodia. These are children of the missionaries in Cambodia. And one of the children in this hotel thought it would be a great idea to put lots of these heavy stones into his swimming costume, into his shirt, and jump into a pool and see how long he can stay in the water. Now, thankfully, one of the helpers stopped him. Otherwise, these heavy stones will be too heavy for him and weigh him down, and he'll be drowning right where all the children, the other children are playing. It's the same for the singer. He's trapped. He's weighed down. He's weighed down. He's tied up by these heavy chains, and he feels that God isn't answering his prayer to spare him from exile. It's not just that God is weighing him down. In verse 14, he feels alone. You see, suffering is easier if there are other co-sufferers, if we can commiserate together. Maybe we'll feel better. But for the singer in verse 14, no one's encouraging him. He is all alone in his pain. His co-sufferers mock him. In verse 14, I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. Maybe the other exiles mock the sinner all day long because this singer continues to trust in God. This weak God that people think couldn't keep his city, couldn't keep his temple safe. This weak God that cannot keep his people safe. So it's time to move on from this weak and hopeless God. So this singer is all alone. The other exiles, they have the joy of mocking him. All he has is the bitter taste of suffering. And because of this dreadful and inescapable wrath, the singer has no hope in his situation. Because the Lord's wrath brings hopelessness. So he concludes in verse 18, so I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I hoped from the Lord. God's judgment is dreadful and inescapable. So the singer concludes, I have no way for glory. I've lost all hope. So the singer has sung in verse 1, I have seen the affliction. I have felt the pain about his pain under God's dreadful and inescapable judgment. So this song says his exile isn't only because Jerusalem's armies were weaker than Babylon's armies. No, this song says that this exile is from God. The singer's exile is because of God's judgment on his people. So I have seen affliction. This is a song for the singer, but it's also a song for the rest of the Jews to take up. So that as they sing, they are singing that they are the ones who have experienced the affliction, to teach them that God's judgment is on them. So this helps the faithful Jews. This helps the faithful Jews lament about their pain to God. But this also teaches the unfaithful Jews, the unfaithful exiles, that they are under the wrath of God. You see, some unfaithful Jews have put their hope in other things. And some were successful in their businesses in exile. Maybe they thought exile is actually good for them. But all of them must sing, "I have seen affliction." Lamentations chapter 3 teaches them that as long as they are not back home with God, as long as they are in exile, they are under God's dreadful and inescapable wrath. And they must lament. They shouldn't distract themselves from the pain. So Lamentations 3 is their song, and it's also our song. Lamentations 3 is also our song because humanity is in exile and under God's curse. We have been in exile from God ever since Adam, our forefather, rebelled against God in Genesis 3. And our world is under God's curse for our rebellion against God. We have seen affliction. Now don't let the comfort in Singapore trick you to think that everything is well. People still hurt. People still lose hope. Now some of us here are hurting and are losing hope. And for some of us, we are even hurting and losing hope alone. Our pain might come from illnesses, or other people, other organizations, but ultimately we suffer because we are in exile from God. We are away from our good God, and we live in this land under God's curse. Lamentations 3 helps us to lament, helps us to grieve the hopelessness under God's judgment. I have seen the pain. I have seen the affliction. And that's what the singer sings in verses 1 to 18. And when it comes to an end of itself, the song begins to change. He starts to have hope in steadfast love. Look at verse 19. I have seen, I remember my affliction and my wandering, my bitterness and gall. I remember them well. My soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Now these verses are the hinge to chapter 3, to change the tone of what's going on, of the song. So in verse 19, the exile reminds the singer, continues to remind the singer of his bitter suffering. He can't save himself. But if God is the one who has afflicted him, then there is hope. So he begins to recall God's steadfast love. From verse 19, remember God's steadfast love. Yeah, I'll be using the ESV for these two verses, for next two verses, verse 22 and verse 23. This is what Lamentations 3 says. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So the Lord who afflicted the singer is also the one who shows love for his people. And this love never ceases. And the next line says, God's mercy never comes to an end. God continues to show mercy to his people. Every morning, there's like a new reset in God's mercy for his people, no matter how much they've sinned. There's a new dawn in their relationship every single day, despite the people's sin the previous day. And great is God's faithfulness. God will be faithful to his merciful character. God will be faithful to continue to show mercy to his people. So what kind of God exiled the singer? A God who keeps loving his people. A God who keeps showing mercy. A God who is faithful. God's character, who God is, gives the singer hope. The singer's hope isn't in himself, the singer's hope is in God. And God has a history of forgiveness. You see, one time, God saved his people from slavery to Egypt. After God saved the people, God spoke to them and gave them his laws from the mountain. And God's people, after experiencing God's saving and seeing and hearing God speaking to them, God's people said, all that God said, we will do. But just a few months later, God's people changed their minds. God's people worshipped, made a golden idol, and they said, this idol is the one that saved us. But this breaks God's law with them. Now, God was going to destroy them, but the people's leader, his name is Moses. Moses appealed to God for mercy, and God relented. And during this time, this is what God said about himself. This is Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children, the third and the fourth generation. So how loving and how merciful is God? God is loving and merciful enough to forgive these people who have sinned against them. That's in Israel's history. And the singer in Lamentations 3 recalls this loving and merciful character of God. So he sings, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So God was loving and merciful and faithful to people in the past, then God is still loving and merciful and faithful to his people in the present, in exile. The singer has no hope in himself in his exile, but he has hope in God, in God's loving and merciful and faithful character. This God will save his people from exile. So you see, he uses the same words as what God said in the past about himself. This God will save his people, and the singer can wait for God to save them. Now, the singer realizes this, he remembers this, but this doesn't mean that the exile, the suffering, disappears straight away. No, the singer must wait for hope in God. Okay, so this is a big chunk, so I'll try to break it down further. So let's look at verse 25 to 30. It says, my heading there is blessed for waiting in suffering. In Hebrew, verses 25 to 28 all start with the word good. So good, good, good. You see that in English too. But this word means blessed. So three times those verses say, it's blessed to wait for God. So look at verse 26. Verse 26 gives a slightly different perspective. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, waiting quietly doesn't mean that God's people will stop lamenting and just be quiet. No, waiting quietly means that they keep trusting in God to save as they wait. Otherwise, there won't be the whole book of Lamentations. So it's blessed to wait and trust. And so the singer calls God's people to wait despite the suffering. And in verse 29, this means, wait, though people press your face against the dirt floor. In verse 30, wait, though other people strike you. Because God will free his people from exile. So God's people are blessed to keep waiting in suffering. Now, why is God worth waiting for? What can he expect the loving and merciful and faithful God to do? So next we see the reason for waiting is suffering. Okay, so in verse 31 to verse 33, in Hebrew, these three verses all start with the word for, the word because. So this is the reason why they can wait. They can wait because God will act according to his character. So since God is merciful, since God is loving, since God is faithful, God will act to show his mercy, his love, and faithfulness. So in verse 31, God will not cast off God will not reject his people forever. In verse 32, instead, God will show them mercy. This means God will act to free them from exile. In verse 33, God's merciful character means that God doesn't willingly afflict them. God doesn't willingly send them into judgment. Or literally, God doesn't afflict them from his heart. Dean Ortlund is a pastor who wrote this excellent book called Gentle and Lowly. Some of you have read it before. I believe it's on the National Library's e-book app, Gentle and Lowly. So this book came out during the pandemic. It was a great encouragement to a lot of us. And he had one whole chapter on this one verse in chapter 3, verse 33. He says, in verse 33, there's an implicit premise in this verse and an explicit statement. The implicit premise is that God is indeed the one who afflicts. The explicit statement is that he does not do it from his heart. Okay, so this what he says is God did bring the exile, but he doesn't do it from his heart. This is not who he is. And later on he says, God is indeed punishing Israel for their waywardness as the Babylonians sweep through the city. He is sending what they deserve. But his deepest heart is their merciful restoration. Now God, in his nature, he is 100% just. He is 100% merciful. But the complexity is that he leans towards mercy. I don't know how God does that, but the singer knows that because God is like that, it's wonderful news for God's people. That at the heart of who God is, he always leans towards mercy. God is always ready to forgive. So God will end this exile. Just like the passage that we looked at earlier, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7. God shows mercy to the thousands and brings justice to the third and fourth generation. Yeah. So some of you know Andrew Ong is coming back tomorrow. Yes. Okay, so anyway, some of you know Andrew Ong's family. So we have seen Pastor Andrew Ong's father with us here. We have seen some of his siblings. We know his children, and we know his granddaughter. That's four generations. So I asked one of his sons, how many of you are there? So he said, maybe about 20. That's up to the fourth generation. So if I reflect on Exodus 34, this means that God shows mercy to the thousands, but if he has to act in justice, he acts on a group of 20. This is how much God leans towards mercy instead of showing justice. But God does show justice, as we see in the book of Lamentations. God did bring the people into exile as he promised. So as the singer is defending God's goodness and suffering. As the singer sings about waiting, he also sings about defending God. The singer recognizes that God has decreed this exile. God promised in the past exile for God's people if they persist in sin, and they continue in sin for a long, long time. Just before the exile, God decreed or God announced the exile through his prophets to tell God's people. Now is the time to turn back. Quickly turn back before it's too late. But God's people continue to reject the prophets, continue to reject God. So the exile came because of sin, because of the people's sin. It's not God's fault. So that's why he sings in verse 39, the living man shouldn't complain that the exile's not fair. The exile happened because of sin. Now the NIV doesn't have the word man, so it should be living man. Because verse 39 echoes verse 1. Verse 1, the singer is the man who has seen affliction. He has experienced affliction. And that's why we experience affliction from verse 2 to 18. And verse 39, he is the man who has afflicted because of his sin. Now, reflecting on the second half of this section, verse 19 to 39, it shows us that there is hope for the hopeless. So verse 19 to 24 tells us that hope is anchored not in our situation, but in God's steadfast love. Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Suffering doesn't stop God's faith, God's steadfast love. And then in verse 25 to 39, since God will act according to his steadfast love, wait for him to act. So where can God's people find hope if they're hopeless? Hope isn't in their situation. Hope is in God. Wait for God. Wait in hope for God. But you might ask, well, Nick, God shows steadfast love to his people. But how do I know that God will show me any steadfast love? I'm not really seeing this steadfast love in my life. Lamentations tells God's people in the past and tells us today, look to God. So this is what God did for us in Romans. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Lamentations 3 singer points forward to Jesus. So Jesus in some sense, Jesus fulfills the Lamentations chapter 3, the man singing Lamentations chapter 3. Jesus is the man who has seen affliction because Jesus died for us. Jesus experienced God's judgment and Jesus died on the cross. So when you and I suffer today, we know that Jesus has experienced affliction as a human being. So you and I, we are not alone. But Jesus does more than the Lamentations 3 singer. You see, Lamentations, Jesus' death proves that God loves you. There's no good reason in us, filthy sinners, for Jesus to die for us, to take our eternal judgment for our rebellion. So that now, for those of us who trust in Jesus, there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. The reason is because of God, because God loves you. The hope in God's steadfast love. So if you ever doubt God's steadfast love, remember Romans chapter 5. Jesus died for you. And wait for God to act in his steadfast love. One day, God will save us from this exile from him, and we will be with God forever. When that happens, all our laments will end. Revelation 21 says, he, that is God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But until this day comes, we wait in hope for this sure future. Now, what does our waiting look like? Let me recommend another book. This person called Mark Brogop is a pastor who wrote Dark Clouds and Deep Mercy. And he learned to grieve. He learned to lament after his own tragedy. You see, a few days before his daughter was going to be born, was due to be born, her heart suddenly stopped. And that led to a long time of grief for him, for his wife. And he wrote this book to tell us to keep trusting in God as we wait. So he says this is what trust looks like. Lament helps us to practice active patience. That's about waiting. Lament helps us to wait. Trust looks like talking to God, sharing our complaints, seeking God's help, and then recommitting ourselves to believe in who God is, and what he has done, even as the trial continues. So trusting God in suffering means keep lamenting to God. Don't go away. Don't turn away from God. Because of God's steadfast love, there is hope for the hopeless. There's hope for you and I. And because there's hope for the hopeless, so verse 40 to verse 66 tells us there is salvation for sinners. Salvation for sinners. So verse 40 to verse 47 is a call for God's people to respond together to God, to call on God to save them from sin. So verse 40 says, talking about himself, as the singer talking about himself, verse 40, the voice changes to say, let us, he calls everyone, let us. God's people must repent from and confess and lament sins. So verse 39 says that man is sinful to God. And normally, we avoid those who have offended. So the thief will always offend the police, will always avoid the policeman. The child who has broken the precious vase at home will always avoid the parent. If God is only just, then we sinners will avoid God to avoid more punishment. But verse 40 says, no matter how far you have gone in your sin, you don't need to avoid God. Verse 40 calls God's people to turn back, turn to God, to turn back to the Lord that they have sinned against. Why? Because earlier we saw God is merciful. God is full of steadfast love. So in verse 40, they must examine their ways. You turn from their sins. Return to God. And verse 41 to 47 gives people the words to confess as they return to God, to describe how they are to God. The language is extreme. Verse 45, you have made us scum and refuse among nations. You made us rubbish among the nations. And this is the song for all the Jews to sing in exile, especially including those who are doing well financially during the exile. To confess that no matter how far they have gone, how well they're doing, as long as they are in exile, they are not home yet. Confess their sin of how God sees them. To confess that until God saves them from exile, they are under God's judgment. And verse 48, the singer takes back the mic to teach God's people to pray to save them from their enemies. Okay, so what's going on here? Didn't God already say that he will save them? Now, God brought the exile as judgment for God's people for their sin. So what we've seen so far is Lamentations 3 has resolved this because God's steadfast love means that God is also ready to forgive, to show mercy to those who are repentant. So God will save his people. God will save the Jews. That's on the God level, on the spiritual level. But on the human dimension, you see, what happened is God judged Jews through Babylon. So the Babylonians, they took the Jews into exile. And the Jews, they cannot free themselves from the Babylonians. So the Babylonians was still an issue. So God's people need God to get them out of Babylon, out of his love for them. And God did help them. But in this passage, God does a lot of things for them already before taking them out of Babylon. Like in verse 57, the singer sings, you came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. God tells them, don't fear. Don't be scared. Next, God becomes their defense lawyer. Verse 58, you, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life. So God defends his people, and God redeems his life. So God paid to save this person's life. And this person, this singer, is still alive. So if God comforts and if God defends them, then there's nothing to fear. And not just that, third, God is also aware of their threats. See, verse 59, God sees the plots. In verse 60, God hears the insults. So in verse 64, God's people can pray to God to judge their enemies. So God will judge their enemies. And because God, the steadfast love of God never ceases, there is hope for the hopeless. And because there is hope for the hopeless, there is salvation for sinners. Now God's steadfast love for us means that there is a hope for Jesus for the hopeless. And because God loves us, Jesus tells us not to run away when we sin. We need not fear God's wrath because Jesus has taken our judgment. Now, what does running away look like? Sometimes when we struggle with sin, we run away by not reading the Bible We run away by not coming to church because we feel that this is God's holy place. We come here, God is going to point out our sin. But God is a God full of steadfast love. God is a God full of mercy. He is ready for you to come back, to U-turn from your ways and to take you back. And like the singer in Lamentations chapter 3, Jesus calls us to repent, to turn away from sin and to confess our sins. So like the singer telling people to confess, Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 6. He teaches us to pray and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Yes, we ask God to forgive us our sins, but we don't treat sin lightly. Like Lamentations chapter 3 verse 40, we too should examine our ways, magnifying glass and look at our ways, and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Take a close look at your life, confess your sins, and keep turning to God. And when we turn to Jesus, the world who hates Jesus will hate us. And like the Lamentations 3 singer, we can cry out to God for help. So Paul also cried out to God for help when he faced persecutors. So this is what Paul says. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. It's the troubles for being a missionary, for telling people about Jesus. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we are despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So these persecutors were beyond his ability. These persecutions were beyond his ability to endure. But Paul says he trusted in God to help him. God, whose power can raise the dead. And this is a God who has delivered him from his persecutors. And this is what we can see in the book of Acts, where God delivers Paul time and time again. For us, God will deliver us from persecutions. Sometimes God does it immediately. Sometimes God takes a while. Sometimes, but all the time, God will do it when Jesus comes back. Whatever it is, you and I, God's people, we can trust in the powerful God who raises the dead. He raised Jesus. And so if the persecutors, they kill us, he will raise us. So there is hope for the hopeless. Therefore, there is salvation for the sinners. But even it's especially in the darkest of nights that we need to remember that we have hope. Now my children, they usually sleep early. And one time we were out late with some church friends at Marina Barrage. And we left there about 9 p.m. Okay. Now this was very late for my children, and the sky was very dark. But my children were really excited to be out so late. And one of them said to our church friends at 9 p.m., "It's almost morning, right? It's almost morning, right?" My friends, that's what we need to remember. Because of God's steadfast love for us, we always have hope. So in the darkest night of suffering, remember, it's almost morning. It's almost morning. Let's pray. Now to the one who by the power of at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Now it's time for discussions and questions. So today we have two questions. The first question is, what hopeless situations can Christians lament about today? And how does Lamentations 3 help us to lament? Maybe in two or three beside you, let's take the next 5 minutes to talk about this.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.